18-13. The 24 Krishna are devotees who have different weapons and different configurations. So they have the Shankadatta Sova in their 1, 2, 3, 4 hands. And so if you permutation of 4 is 24. 4 times 3 times 2 times 1 is 24. And so of those, there are actually unlimited Vaikuntha Murti. But here there are 24 particular forms of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya goes through a real exacting exercise. Why he goes through it all, I'm not quite sure. It all sort of perplexed me. It takes such a long time. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says, and in the going from clockwise, in the lower right is this weapon, and in the upper right, and this, and this, and anyway, he does. And one of them is Vamana. Another one is Krishna, but it's not the same Krishna as Krishna. It's a different Krishna. That's the name. And this Vamana, who is the dwarf Brahmana, he's present in the heavenly planet as the younger brother of Indra. So just like Krishna first appeared Lord Narayan, then Krishna manifest. First appeared Lord Narayan, then appeared Lord Vamadeva, and we saw that Brahmacharya dwarf, and then here we are. Okay, now I'm a little up to date. Om again, So then he's actually appeared not in a baby form, but already Brahmachari. Means that now he's at least 5, 6, 7 years old, because children, little boys, don't enter the Brahmachari ashram until they're that. And Vatu, I can't remember, but Vatu is a type of Brahmachari.
Just means boy or youth, literally.
But in terms of a category of brahmacharis, there's different. There's a different category of brahmacharis. Anyway, so since he was already, in that sense, appeared making the statement that he wanted to be in that ashram, then they performed the different ceremonies, beginning with. They had to perform the what we call brahminical initiation. So, but obviously before that, they performed the jatakarma, and I don't know why Prabhupada says that when a child is born in the family of a Brahmin, the birth the ceremony is known as Jatakarma because that happens in every family at least. Everyone is a Jatakarma. And the same Jatakarma took place. Usually it takes place not immediately, but sometime after. So with Krishna and Balaram, it took place quite some like months after they were originally born. And so when children are born, they're not immediately given a name. They're just called the boy, the girl. And then when Nanda Maharaj asked for who's going to come, it can't be them, it's not the parents, it should be then actually a usually the family priest. So then Gangamuni appeared, or Muni, what it was called, and of course the family priest of Vasudev was Gangamuni, and the family priest of Nanda Maharaj was that other Brahmin, his name I forget, he's always there in Vrindavan. And so they held that name-giving ceremony in the Goshala. And that place is still there. All that took place in Gokula. So all of these ceremonies were performed. And everyone was, it's described here, use the word Modamana, Moda. Modaka, very, very happy, very pleasing. So everyone was very pleased because they were in presence of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord had actually appeared. The appearance of Krishna is not necessarily appreciated in the same way by everyone. There will be others who don't appreciate, although they recognize. So then came this Brahman, the guru of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, he just thought, here's a little boy. And immediately, was he actually qualified? He, well, we'll talk about that. If you remind me, what is Bali Maharaj's qualification for seeing Vamadeva and getting Vamadeva's mercy? But immediately he didn't know. It was Supacharya, who was the so-called guru of the demons. If you can understand what kind of culture we live in, even the demons have gurus. And in our so-called nice culture nowadays, you know, people don't really accept, necessarily accept spiritual authority. And even they perform sacrifices. They have gurus. They have certain principles, usually, by which they abide. And they know that by the performance of austerity and sacrifice, that's how Bali Maharaj had actually attained the kingdom of heaven. Interesting that the sacrifice he was performing was here on earth. One reason for that is because the earth is the karma bhumi. In heavenly planets, people live out their karma, but they actually don't incur karma. This is the place where karma, and this was a karma kanda sacrifice for, again, getting further benefit to be able to actually stay longer and longer in the heavenly planets. And of course, Lord Vamadev will preserve that and manifest a very wonderful lila, wonderful pastime. You're going to read it all. I won't be here. I'm just trying. trying to remember when I first read this, because it was very touching. I certainly didn't read it in my early days of Krishna consciousness, because it was a few years later that Lord Srila Prabhupada got the 8th canto, and we started printing the 8th canto in 75, 76, when we got these books. But the story was known. Somewhere. Certainly the picture was there of Lord Vamandev holding up his toe and touching the universe. I'm thinking it was from the second canto, those little booklets, right? That's where it came from.
Yeah.
From the second canto. Those are really great. I had almost all of them. And I used to always look at the pictures, and particularly also that picture, and this story of how this king, Krishna comes, he recognizes through his guru, this is not just an ordinary dwarf, and of course, the appearance of dwarf is significant, because here, how big steps do dwarfs make? I don't know if you've seen dwarfs, but they're small. And actually, I don't think those are actually dwarfs. Those are not necessarily the race of dwarfs. Those are people with a growth disorder. There are actually race of dwarfs who, it's in all kinds of fairy book traditions, they call them fairy books because people don't see them, but they do exist. Just like when I used to steal from the UK, when I used to go to Ireland, and I used to go to Inishraq temple, and there the tradition of leprechauns is very strong. And there was supposed to be a leprechaun residence just across from the island on the mainland, where I used to actually park the motorhome there. And I have to admit, I used to often look there and chant my japa, waiting to see leprechauns, but I never did. But I met people who said they saw them. And they're also a race of dwarfs, and they're very, as described here, they're very beautifully built. But it's meant to emphasize the whole paradox. That, all right, 3 steps of land, they really take small steps. But now, whatever your material calculation is, and material calculations are the way that we think, we need to enter a different paradigm. This small step covers the universe. It's this same way. Pandavas on one side and Kauravas on the other, and more or less they have twice as many soldiers, and they have certain soldiers who cannot be beaten. Karna cannot be beaten, Bhishma Dev cannot be beaten, Dronacharya cannot be beaten, Ashwatthama cannot be beaten. And that they knew from the beginning. So on the other side, Arjuna couldn't be beaten, although of course that's a difficult thing. What happens when the two of them get together? And Krishna told them at the end. He said he could not defeat these soldiers. And that was one of the reasoning that Yudhisthira Maharaj had to understand why Krishna had to tell them to cheat or to lie. Because otherwise you won't kill them. You won't be able to succeed. So therefore Krishna told them where they had to lie and cheat. And of course that's also how Lord Vamandev ultimately attains the kingdom of heaven gains it back again for his relatives, because now the demigods are his relatives. And so he lives always in Swarga, along with the goddess of fortune, and he's being regularly worshipped by King Indra. And that's, although in another form, he's also living in Sutala, where he's regularly being worshipped by Bali Maharaj, and he's Bali Maharaj's doorkeeper, which has also stories attached to it, and maybe that one I didn't give. So this material calculation, how is it possible? How can the Pandavas win? This English saying, by hook or by crook, they won. And Krishna, of course, Krishna took a vow that he wasn't going to fight. If Krishna entered the fray, or if Balaram fought, then no one would be able to stand against him. So they could win the battle, but both were family members. And as part of Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastime, he didn't want to enter into fighting with family. So Balaram went on Padyatra, visiting India, and Krishna said, I won't fight. But still, by hook or by crook, his Hungarian version. And there's some etymology behind that, what the hook and the crook is. I remember looking it up, but I can't remember. All of these sayings have some particular original meaning, why it's by hook or by crook. Anyway, Krishna made sure that the Pandavas won, because Namibhakta Pranasuti. Because he favored Arjuna, he favored Yudhisthira Maharaj. And Krishna says, Samaham Sarabhuteshu. But Eva Jantitaman Bhaktam. He says, I'm equal to everybody. But when it comes to devotees, then I'm partial. And that becomes the whole topic of the seventh canto. How can Krishna be partial if he's meant to be equal to everyone? Ultimately, everyone's Krishna's child. Krishna's the father. So how can he be partial to the demigods just neglect the demons or cheat the demons? Or why is he partial to the Pandavas cheats the Kauravas? And interestingly, although Krishna is the Dharma Setu, as Sukadeva Goswami, he is the bridge upon which Dharma walks. In other words, in order for Dharma to always attain perfection, that's one understanding of what Dharma Setu means, in order for religious principles to attain their perfection, they have to be in touch with Krishna, and they walk across Krishna in order to be fulfilled. So Krishna is the Dharma Setu. But for the sake of devotees, he will lie. He will become, for the sake of the gopis, they're married. So he's religion personified, and yet, all right, I will become your paramour, because there's no other way they can have a connection with them. They're already married. So for devotees, Krishna ultimately is willing to do anything. And that's why, back to this principle of this little step, it doesn't make sense. And that's what Bali Maharaj said. He said, oh, you're so silly. I'm here. I'm the Lord of the universe right now. And you're asking me for 3 steps of land, okay? What kind of steps are you going to take? You're a dwarf. So that's the material calculation, and somehow Radha Shukracharya saw through this. He had some particular qualification, or Lord Vamadeva wanted him to see. And he said this, he's not going to take an ordinary step. He's going to take one step, and you lose the universe with one step. So up, down, now we're going to take the third step. So they, then he says, please put your feet on my head. It's sort of a similar phenomena that when Draupadi was in the arena, well, if you've already given away your freedom and everything, can you still give away your wife? That was a sort of argument that was going on, that does he have the right to wager his wife once he's already wagered away his freedom? Similarly, here, like you've already given everything, so can you really give yourself? Because you're also part of the universe, you're also in it. But still, you can give your body, but to give your heart, that becomes a different affair. So that was always a very, very poignant thing to actually read that. This is Atma Nivedana. Okay, I'll just tell that one story briefly that some devotees may have heard. And that was as Bali Maharaj was walking. Bali Maharaj was already there. As Vamadeva is walking, it appears that he had to walk some distance towards where the sacrifice was taking place. All beautifully dressed, deer skin, as his staff, and his kamandalu, and beautifully radiant. And he's a dwarf. He hits a river, so you need to cross the river somehow. And it was, I don't know what particular river it was. I can't remember. I read it in one Purana. It's not in the Bhagavatam. And he hits a river, and there's no way to cross. So not necessarily a deep river, but what's not deep for us is deep for dwarves. But he sees at a distance that there's a Brahmin over there living in a little hut. And so he goes over to the Brahmin, and he asks him, says, can you take me to the other side? Which is a little irony, because that means he's going to have to carry him. But the Brahmin accepts that, and of course, because Vamadeva is a Brahmin, and he's a Brahmin, so no harm, Brahmins carrying Brahmins. Maybe if he was a different caste, the Brahmin would have thought differently. Anyway, he puts Vamadeva on his shoulder. And as soon as he touches Vamadeva, he starts to feel very, very ecstatic. And he walks midway into the river, and he doesn't understand why he's in such great ecstasy. And he comes to a conclusion. He says, this can't be some ordinary Brahmin, there must be something special about him. And by his spiritual intelligence, he just concludes that this must be the Supreme Lord. So he stops in the middle of the river. And he says, you're not a Brahmin. He says, you must be Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, Vamadeva doesn't say, he says, I'm just a dwarf, I don't know what you want, but let's go, why do you stop here? He says, no, just a minute, you are the Supreme Lord. He says, I'm not going to continue until you fulfill my desire. He says, what desire do you have? What do I need to do? I don't have anything to pay you. These are the only things I have. He says, no, if I take you to the other side of this river, you have to take me to the other side of the ocean of birth and death. He says, look, I'm a dwarf. I don't have the ability to do that. I'm a Brahmin. I'm just going to get some dakshin. The Brahmin says, you take me to the other side, you liberate me, or I'm going back. That way he continues, and he comes to Bali Maharaj, and then you read the story. But what is Bhavi Maharaj's qualification? He's Lord of the universe. He's giving everything up. Krishna says, you think that I became his doorman because he gave up the universe or because he surrendered? He says, I don't become people's doorman just because they surrender. So it's not enough. Or that he gave everything away or something. He said, Bali Maharaj's qualification, why I favor him so much, is just because he's related to Prahlad Maharaj. He's Prahlad Maharaj's grandson. So he's related to Prahlad Maharaj. Anyone who's related to Prahlad Maharaj, he says, I favor him. So the fact that he is related to a Vaishnava, and Prahlad Maharaj is really the emblem of pure devotion, of pure devotional service, that becomes a very important thing. So you can see, you may be Lord of the three worlds, you may be a devotee, you may give everything, and you may give yourself. But if you don't have a connection with a devotee who Krishna favors, it doesn't matter. So what more can you do than Bali Maharaj? He's given everything. And it's very poignant. It's that after all of this, and after giving the universe, and then he's humiliated. He becomes humiliated. He becomes tied up by the ropes of Varuna, and he's humbled. Lord Vamadeva really, really humiliates him, cheats him in front of everybody, kills his supporters and everything. And then he asks him, all right, I gave two steps of land, where's my third step of land? I want that third step of land. He says, you put your foot on my head. And then he does that, and then what does he do? Then he pushes him down into the lower plane, and still he doesn't protest that he's been cheated and abused. You know, we have different departments in Krishna consciousness for cheated and abused devotees. He's been cheated, abused, mistreated. And Krishna says, that actually doesn't mean that much to me. Or rather, it means something, certainly, that he was willing to do all that, but for that, he didn't purchase me. I didn't become his doorman for that. I became his doorman because of his grandfather. And Prahlad Maharaj comes in and actually intervenes at a certain point and asks him, please give your mercy to my grandson. So that connection is such an important thing that we may do so many things that we think are going to please Krishna, but ultimately, unless that connection is there, and Srila Prabhupada makes this point in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, he explains that one has to please a Mahabhagavata, one has to please a great Vaishnava in order to actually attain Krishna's favor, Krishna's mercy. So that connection always has to be there, and then things become very valuable. Or then even the smallest things become very valuable. The very smallest service that one does. Of course, Krishna always appreciates service by Vaishnavas, but service comes how? Service comes through a devotee, we receive service through a devotee, and the result of that service goes back to Krishna also through the line of the cyclic succession. There was another story I was going to say. What was the other story? It was this.
And the river. The river.
No, the river.
And the qualification.
And the qualification. And the qualification. So ultimately, that's our adhikara. Of course, according to time, place, and circumstance, there are certain requirements. The other one that I was thinking was not completely related, but I'll tell it. And this is about Ravana. And Ravana is related to Bali Maharaj. He's a Rakshasa, and if he's not a Rakshasa, he's Asura. These are races, actually. Sometimes we say demon is a sort of a generic classification for those who are, Krishna says, Vividha, two types of living entities, Sura, Asura, Evacha. So there's demons and demigods. So Vaishnavas fall in the category, for instance, of Deva, demigods, and then all the others. But there's actually different categories. There's Rakshasas and the Asuras and the Yavanas and all of these, or Nalechas. Of course, that's human beings. And so, but Ravana is connected to Bali Maharaj, is related somehow to Bali Maharaj. And during the war with Lord Ramachandra, Ravana was understanding that he needed help. And so he let a lot of people go to Bali Maharaj for help. He very rarely does that, but he also went down to Sitala and he told him, listen, I'm fighting with this man, and him and his monkeys are killing all of my soldiers. So can you please come and help? And Bali Maharaj says, I don't think I can help you. I don't think my help would make any difference. That would certainly make a lot of difference. Just, if you come, it will swing the balance of the battle against, after all, they're just monkeys. So anyway, they have a conversation, and he's trying to convince him, he can't convince him. He says, okay, listen, come with me. So Bali Maharaj takes him somewhere in Sitaloka. I don't know what Sitaloka looks like, but he takes him somewhere, and they come across a gold mountain. And Bali Maharaj says, you see this gold mountain? It's glittering with gems, beautiful mountain. In fact, I knew where it was, I'd make a trip. Anyway, it's a big old mountain with gems encrusted and so on. And he said, you see this mountain? And Ravana says, yeah, he says, lift it. So Ravana lifted Kailash, so he's very strong. He says, lift it. As Ravana tries to lift it, he can't move it. It's enormous, you can't even see the end of it. He says, lift it. Ravana ultimately said, I can't lift it, but what's the point? He says, you know what this mountain is? He says, no. This is also one of your relatives. This is one of the earrings of Hiranyaksha. And that Ramachandra, in an earlier incarnation, he killed Hiranyaksha, whose earring you can't even lift. So what do you want me to do? You think I'm going to be able to help? He says, so better you just go back and give back his wife. No, I'm not going to be, humiliated like that. So that was just a story about Bali Maharaj. But that's Bali Maharaj's qualification, and that's the meditation that we have. We are extremely fortunate. And unfortunate is that we're not connected to one Mahabhagwa, Srila Prabhupada. We're connected to a whole parampara of Bhagavats, Mahabhagavatas. And although certainly it is very important that we also practice and take very seriously Krishna consciousness, it's questionable what type of perfection you're going to get if you don't, Prabhupada said, you will go back to Godhead by distributing books. What happens there when you go back, that's another thing. It's not necessarily all one. Certainly not all one. But we're connected to this parampara. The interesting thing is that they all have, from starts with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this that beautiful song of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Ihe Bhagavata Param. These are all Mahabharatas. And they all have one particular desire, which is to give Krishna consciousness to others. If we're connected to that desire, that means we're really connected to them. And if we please them, then that will certainly be an extraordinary qualification that Srila Prabhupada kept repeating and emphasizing. This is the real secret of getting Krishna's attention, of becoming noticed by Krishna. So that connection is important. From Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Rupa Goswami, we're Rupanugas, we're connected to, they're not just great devotees, they're eternal associates, they're eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya, they're eternal associates of Lord Krishna. And just that connection gives these type of extraordinary blessings. That doesn't necessarily mean that Krishna may not handle us roughly by his embrace like he did with Pali Maharaj, but Krishna doesn't forget. And he doesn't forget the little devotees, like us, and he doesn't forget the great Vaishnavas, Sadhguru-dhamayam, because ultimately Krishna's devotees are Krishna's heart. So here is Lord Vamandev about to leave after the sacred thread ceremony, hearing Gayatri Mantra from the Sun God. Gayatri Mantra here means the Brahma Gayatri, and which is in glorification of the Sun, which has to be, which is Vedic Mantra. And you'll read more later on as you go on. And the one wonderful thing is, of course, the devotees go to India. Well, you know, everybody has the same color hair. But he's a blonde. And, you know, blondes have more fun. And so you have to be careful. Don't make fun of blondes. There's a tendency of, you know, I won't crack any blonde jokes right now. Keep in mind, we already came across one blonde, that was Kapila Dev, he's also a blonde. And here is the other one, he's also a blonde. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Thank you.